Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcast tonight, we will take calls after our guest hosts, the Silver Liners, have made their presentation. Please call in at 213-816-1611 and press number 1 on your phone pad to place you in our producer's call board. And we look very much forward to having you with us and your comments. Dorothy, how about introducing our guest host tonight?
Jim, thank you so much. I would like to introduce our guest host tonight, Colleen DeFelice, one of the Eastern Airlines flight attendants. But before we do, let me just give you a little bit about her background. Colleen was a flight attendant from 1964 until 1971, when she left after the birth of her first son. For the next 20 years, she raised two sons and had many different jobs, including radio news and cable TV. In 1991, she returned to her first passion by becoming a United Airlines flight attendant, retiring from there in 2003. In 2006, she joined a community theater and discovered her second passion and has been involved in all aspects of theater for the past 11 years. She first joined Silver Liners in 1973 in New Jersey, and after recently moving to Florida, rejoined the Florida Gulf Coast chapter. Welcome, Colleen, to the EAL Radio Show.
Thank you, Dorothy, and thank you, Neil and Jim. Thank you for inviting the Silver Liners to host another show. I know they enjoyed the first one that we did, and I think your audience did. You invited us back, so they must have. To enlighten those in your audience who may not know who the Silver Liners are, at this point my intention was to have the president of our organization, Connie Kerrigan, to give a brief history. Connie is here. She's a little under the weather. So, Connie, if you'd like to start off, and if your voice fails, I'll back you up. You there, Connie?
Okay. I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, if my voice does fail, which it may, this is what somebody says, if you play, you pay. And I played and I'm paid. I think the best way to describe Silver Liners, as I have before, is it's been a network of wonderful friends for decades for me. It's a somewhat of like a sorority, fraternity, if you will, but it's a common bond, whether you flew in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s. It doesn't make a difference. We all have that same commonality. To find out more about the actual organization, I would suggest you go to our website, which is www.thesilverliners.org. And at that, I'm going to stop because I know I'm going to lose the voice, and I'm going to turn it all over to Colleen.
Okay, thanks, Connie. I feel better. Okay, as Connie said, you can find out all the information and how to join the organization at www.thesilverliners.org. Now for our first guest. She is fairly new to the Silver Liners, but has jumped right in volunteering for projects. Her current career is a wealth of information, at least in my age group. Beverly Shaw is a member of my chapter, the Florida Gulf Coast. Hi, Beverly, are you there?
Yes, Colleen, good evening, and thank you.
Good
it's
evening.
An honor and a pleasure to be a part of this.
Good. Can you tell us a little bit your connection with Eastern and how you transitioned into your current career?
I started flying for Eastern in 1985, and I flew up to about a week before they closed. I've never had so much fun making so little money in my life, and if the good Lord took me tomorrow, it will be the best job I ever had. I happen to be an attorney now, and I follow in a family of Eastern Silver Liners. My mother flew out of New Orleans in the late 40s. I was based for my 6 years out of Miami.
Wow. What's your specialty in law?
I own my own practice. I have an elder law and estate planning practice. So my clients are generally 70 to 100 years old, and I help them avoid probate and teach them about, give them documents, what's a power of attorney, what's a living will and health care surrogate, and for those unfortunate folks that are looking at nursing home life, I, as an elder law attorney, I have a specialty in getting someone with assets and income qualified for Medicaid so they don't spend their hard-earned base that they would like to give to their children on a nursing home.
Wow. Were you interested in this while you were flying, or did you get your education while you were flying, or what led from flying into law?
Well, I had 2 years of college when I started flying, and I had planned to continue my education. They said I would be on reserve about 10 months. I was on reserve 6 years. So my education was put on a hold, but it was a wonderful hold. And then when I left Eastern, I went back to school, and, law school is, they're a little snotty in the law profession. They require you have a college degree, and so it took me 18 years to get through college, but once I did, I decided to apply to law school and was accepted, and I attended Stetson University College of Law. I was a litigator for many years, and then about 14 years ago, I opened up my own kind, gentle elder law practice, and I love it.
Wow, that's terrific. Yeah, a little long college career there.
Oh, I know, but I had so many adventures along the way. It's so interesting because a lot of my clients, they served our country, they raised families, they worked all their lives, then they retired, mm-hmm. and now they're ill or there's a problem. I did it a little backwards. I did all my fun and traveling, in my 20s and 30s, and then I had to get serious and go back to school and start working.
Then you got a real job, right?
Yeah, but you know what? As I said, flying for Eastern is – I've had a lot of jobs in my life, but that – is the most favorite job I ever had. I loved it.
Yeah. I think everybody feels that way.
No, they paid me to fly around the world and be nice to people. Does it get much better than that?
Yeah, right. Hey, thanks, Beverly, and see you at the next meeting. And you are a terrific newcomer to Silver Liners because you jump right in there and volunteer. So
thank you,
Beverly.
You know how shy I am.
Oh, yeah, I know. which brings us to our next guest. I knew you would be a good lead-in for our next guest. Where are we here? Okay. She is a member of the Nation's Capital Chapter. It's Washington. And I've had the pleasure of several conversations over the past 2 months. I'm in absolute awe of her talent. But Sonia Gadra can explain that. Sonia, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Okay, so tell us a little bit, your connection with Eastern and how you got into your latest career.
Well, when I was 19 and starry-eyed, I wanted to see the world, and I saw a brochure that described what it was like being an Eastern Airlines stewardess, and I thought, there was my key to the world. So I applied to Eastern and Pan Am, by the way. was fortunate to be accepted by both, but the Eastern Pass system and benefits were so much better than Pan Am that I decided to stay with Eastern, even after Pan Am called me when I was old enough to start school, and I never looked back. I never regretted it. Of course, the airlines at that time had this rule that if you got married, you had to leave. So I flew. I started flying in 1963, and I met my husband on one of my flights, a red eye to San Juan. And so we started seeing each other for a while after that, and we got married. And so I was grounded. I decided to go back to college and study art, and which is my second love. I mean, flying was my first love, but art has always been one of my loves. And so I painting. I'm basically a portrait artist, but I do all kinds of art. And in the meantime, having lived in New York and having these wonderful museums to go to, I used to go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art and watch the copyists paint at the Metropolitan. And I thought, geez, that's the thing that I need to do. I need to perfect my skills, and what a wonderful way to learn my craft right in front of the masterpieces. So I am a copyist at the National Gallery of Art now. Living in Washington, I was privileged to be a copyist at the Metropolitan. And so what I do is I copy the masterpieces. One day a week, I'm at the National Gallery of Art, and it's a wonderful privilege to do that. Now, having said that, I have to say that being a stewardess in the 60s was one of the most fun things I've ever done. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. If I could do it today, I'd do it again. So I don't regret doing that at all. And I'm happy to say that out of that, I'm able to be a silver liner. Now, I'm in the D.C. chapter, and being a silver liner is also a wonderful privilege. I have met some wonderful people in this group, and we have so much fun together. The group does so many humanitarian things that it's just a wonderful group to be part of.
Yeah, it is. It is. Thanks. Now, I've seen your art on your website. It is amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm like in awe of it. And, I mean, you tell people your website if you'd like them to go and look at some of your work there. It's just gorgeous.
Well, sure. My website is Sonia, S-O-N-I-A, Gadra, all one together, G-A-D-R-A, at...
Me.
I forgot. So Nick,
me.
Gadra at me.com. Yes. SoniaGadra.com. I'm sorry. Sonia Gadra is my email. SoniaGadra.com is my website. And I'm at the National Gallery once a week, every Tuesday. So if anybody happens to be in the Washington area and would want to go to the National Gallery, please stop by and see me. I'm usually in the Impressionist galleries. So that's where I could be found.
That's great. It's like I said, it's absolutely amazing when I saw the artwork. So thank you very much for sharing that with us.
No, thank you.
And we've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of weeks, and I hope to meet you in person very soon.
Oh, I would love that. That would be great.
Good. Okay. Bye, Sonia. I'll talk to you in a little while, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Our next guest, I have some funny visions of the next guest's career, and I'm sure she has a lot of funny stories about it, too. Helen Krikorian is a member of the Washington chapter, the D.C. chapter, and she flew in the 1950s, which, you know, in itself probably can provide a lot of funny stories. It's so different, you know, from flying in today's world. But her next career was very unique. Helen, are you there? Can you tell us first a little bit about flying in the 50s and then how you got into your next career?
Well, I really enjoyed flying, but I didn't realize I was going to even be accepted to go to Eastern. I'd never been on an airplane, but I loved it. Anyway, in those days, in the early 50s, Miami summer months were not a big tourist time, so they gave us time off, a free ticket anywhere in the system, round trip. So two or three years, I took advantage of that, took the whole summer off, and I was activities chairman in a resort hotel up in upstate New York, which I really enjoyed. But I had wonderful friends I met when we were at the hotel when we first moved down to Miami, and five of us got together and we got an apartment. There was only two bedrooms in the house that we got, so we always figured one of the people would always be flying, so we'd be able to have enough room to sleep. Didn't always work out that way, but it was that way. Anyway, I loved flying. I loved New York. I'd never really been to New York on my own. This is the first time I was ever on my own, so this was really exciting. And I remember coming on late flights in the middle of the night, going from the airport by subway to downtown New York, and there were people in the sleeping in the doorways, but you never could see it. There was no drugs at that time in the early 50s. And it was a very, very safe time for me, and I loved it. We couldn't get married and stay in Easton, as you probably know. So when I did get married, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I did get married, moved around quite a bit. When I landed up in Chicago, I happened to be at a bookstore, and I saw a wonderful book that I loved. I wanted to get for my children. And I called the company, and they had no representative in the area. So I said, well, I'd like to be a rep. I've never sold, but why not? So they gave me five states. Well, you know, in the Midwest, five states is a huge area. I had to give up after a short time because it was just too much to handle. But then we moved to New York. So I called them again, and they had nobody in New York. So I represented New England. So I represented them in New England and in New York State, just the museums in New York State. Well, after a while, I found New York State was really expensive, whatever you sold. It was just too expensive. So I stayed with New England, the six states, and I was the first woman, as far as I understand, that ever sold a major book line in New England. But then my husband died, and I needed to get a better income. So I looked around for a partner, and I found a wonderful partner that had some influence in book lines. So we got together, and we covered New England and upstate New York and, of course, all the Cape and the islands. It was a wonderful time, and I really enjoyed it. When I became 65, I decided I was going to quit because this was really heavy work. You took samples around, and it wasn't easy. Of course, now you don't need samples because everything's done by computer, so you know things are pretty easy. So I really enjoyed selling, and I stayed with this selling part for many years. And then when I became 65, I quit, and now I'm enjoying my life, but I moved from the Boston area to Washington, and I love the Silver Liners group here. They're warm, and they're loving, and they're very affectionate. I really enjoy them, active. So I recommend anyone that was with Eastern before that has not considered joining Silver Liners, give it a try. I think you'll enjoy it. And that's it.
Great. That's great. Okay. You used a term when I was talking to you earlier about doing this show. You said you were the book salesman.
A woman.
I'm sorry. Book. Now I'm getting confused. But you said on the road. I mean, you actually carried book samples and drove all over.
Yes.
Right?
I was away several days a week. And so I had asked my mother to move in because I had two young children. And so she was there because I was away sometime from Monday till Thursday night. And it seems as though paperwork took me 8 days a week. You know, at those days, there was no computer. Everything had to go on paper. So
I was just going to say, computers did you in.
Yes.
Did you hear me? Yeah, computers must have done you in. Once you could do everything on the computer, you didn't need a traveling salesman anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
But now, in those days, we didn't have the easy access on the computers. No, now they have handheld ones. They take the order right in front of you. So it's really a very different thing now. But I enjoyed what I did. I missed the buyers a lot. They were wonderful people, and they were always very welcoming. And I've stayed over the homes. I know once I was in Connecticut, and there was a big show on. There was no place at all to stay. So one of my customers said, "Oh, why don't you stay in my boat?" They had a boat, and I stayed overnight, several nights on their boat that was harbored right outside the town. I've had some wonderful experiences, and those I won't forget. But as I said, I really enjoyed the Silver Line. They gave me a lot of confidence. It gave me independence. I was not afraid to try anything after having been a Silver Liner.
That's great. That's great. Thank you very much for those compliments of your organization. And it's been great talking to you. Thank you for your input, and we'll talk to you again. See you at one of the conventions or board meetings. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And stay on the line, so if anybody has any questions. So.
Yes, I will.
Okay? Good. Okay, our next guest knew nothing about this episode that we're doing. She called me last week with a totally unrelated question and got drafted. Remember answering your phone at the wrong time and getting drafted for a trip? Well, it happened to me on a Christmas day. So, Sherry of Runyon, are you there?
I am here. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay, tell us your Eastern story and your career.
Okay, well, I started flying in 1979 and was there till the end with many leaves in between. And actually, I was a water skier at SeaWorld of Orlando and decided I wanted to go back and get another degree and figured that being a flight attendant might be a good way to do that. And never did get that second degree, but my husband and I started a business. So I had some really great times as a flight attendant for Eastern. My world was very small. Orlando was quite rural at the time. I lived in a little town called Windermere. And Disney had just opened a few years before that, so we were still kind of small. So I really had a nice experience growing up and kind of seeing how the rest of the country lived, and it was really nice. I had my two children while I was there. My husband and I heard someone earlier say they were supposed to be on reserve 10 months, and it was 6 years. Well, I feel your pain. I was supposed to be on reserve 6 months. And was on reserve for 5 years, and we put off a wedding and having babies, but ended up, you know, going ahead with our plans anyway. So during that time, there was some really great highlights, and, you know, we opened South American market, and we did some really wonderful things. At the same time, we also experienced some great trouble. You know, it was deregulation and a fuel embargo and a lot of things that really put a lot of pressure on Eastern Airlines. The amazing thing was I didn't really know the history of Eastern. And so through that really difficult time, and for me, I was quite young, so I'd never really faced this kind of thing, and I really never dawned on me that we couldn't roll out of anything that we got into. We, you know, would have these meetings and get-togethers, and we would hear our captains share stories about how Eastern got started and Eddie Rickenbacker. So I learned a lot about the airline, the history. And it really was very inspirational and gave you a lot of pride, even with all the adversity that was going on at the time. So that was great. But there were a lot of blessings in that. I had two beautiful children. I was able to see a lot of places. My husband started a new business. I was able to go and meet him places. He's a commercial photographer. A lot of blessings in all of that.
Yeah. And you, what did you do after you left Eastern?
Well, my current career, which I will, in the interest of time, I'll focus on that. I work at Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies. It's part of the Arnold Palmer Medical Center, which is part of Orlando Health in Central Florida. And it's really an amazing company, and I call it kind of my accidental career. I had a friend refer me, I have the perfect job for you. And that opened a door to a place that I have really been able to use my gifts and abilities in a way that I really never realized I'd be able to this late in my life, because I kind of figured, like, you know, I was kind of, what kind of job would I be able to get and at this stage? And so I worked, I started in guest services at Arnold Palmer Medical Center, which meant I worked at Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children and Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies. I currently work in patient experience, which is a department that has spun off from guest services. And I'm one of three people in that department to kick it off. And I'm a tour ambassador. So I do 18 tours a week. And it sounds like just so as she walks about and points out points of interest. It's much more than that. I've done some presentations on it. And actually, an ambassador, when it comes to a brand, is the person at the forefront of a company's communication with the public. So people come in and they're making decisions. Are they going to have their baby at our hospital or somewhere else? You know, what makes us special? Everyone today pretty much expects that we should have sophisticated and good medicine. So what is it that's going to make my experience good? And how do I know that you care and you're not just running me through? So I am very blessed. I've had a wonderful career. So I'm a tour ambassador for Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies. And it's really been rewarding.
Yeah. Don't you think these people skills are a natural transition from flight attendants?
I will tell you, that has been the key, because honestly, that right there, it made all the difference. That was one of the reasons that I was one of the three that was chosen to go start this new department, is because, you know, there's a lot of things that you can teach people. Like, I can teach someone how to do my tour. I can teach them the facts. But there are so many things. Everybody that walks in that door has a story. And some people walk in, they're excited, they are relatively in a good season of their life. But other people, they have burdens, or their family dynamic is not wonderful. And have such an opportunity to reach out to them where they are. And it is truly the people skills that I learned at a very young age at Eastern Airlines. And I got thrown on an airplane and was really kind of shy by nature. But you learned that, you know, they're counting on you. You know, they're counting on you to be in charge and to give them a good flight. So, yes, I would say that has been very, very important.
Yeah. It was the same for me, too. When I started with Eastern, I was so shy. And you just got so much confidence and people skills in that job. It was amazing that you feel like if you can do that, you can do anything. Which isn't really true, but you feel that way.
I remember one of the things when I was really young, I had never been around anybody that was in higher level management per se. I put myself through college working at Walt Disney World, driving boats. I grew up on a lake, so that was a lot of fun. And then after I got out of college, I was a steer for SeaWorld. So, you know, everybody, and then I got my flight attendant job, and my dad would always say, when are you going to get a real job? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of liking what I'm doing so far, you know?
Yeah.
Since I learned at Eastern, in training school, they said, you know, you can't please everybody. But, you know, one of the things they said, when you go up and someone's complaining, to empathize with them. And, you know, my first job had been at Walt Disney World, and they are the masters of customer service. And that was such a, you know, foundation for me to springboard into Eastern, who really, I had no managers on board with me. I had no one. So you had to take those same skills and hone them in. So, you know, my time at Eastern really did give me that opportunity to do that.
Right. Okay. Well, that was great. Thanks, Sherry. And if you don't want to get drafted again, I would be careful who you call in the future.
Well, actually, this has been a happy mistake, Colleen. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And the amazing thing to me is, since I was there during the strike, and I did honor the picket line, and I know not everyone did, and I'm respectful about that. I mean, but tough time. So I tried to highlight the blessings and the good things, but we really endured a lot of unfair and brutal situations. So the thing that's been really neat about this is it's given me time to really focus on, you know, what is it? Because I am a silver liner now, member of the Orlando chapter, and it was a long time ago, and then it dissipated, but it also was a time in my life where I didn't really have we did our flight to the North I would always participate. But it was on the other side of town, and I really, with young children and things going on, everyone else is in a different phase of life. So I've really enjoyed getting reconnected. So calling you and this being up on the radio show has been a highlight. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, good. Thanks. Okay, well, I'm glad you made that mistake, too. And hopefully I'll get to meet you soon. Okay?
Well, I hope so. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks. Okay, the next guest is from the Florida Gulf Coast chapter and one that I should be calling on since I moved into a new house a year ago. Barbara Bacata, sitting with you at the meetings, I never knew I had such a close resource. Barbara, are you there?
I am here and calling. Thank you so much for hosting this show. It's been really eye-opening for me hearing all the different careers that the girls have. Sometimes we aren't aware of that, and I'm going to make a notation that we include their current careers in all the future directories so that we know what they're doing with their lives.
Yeah, I think that would be a terrific idea. And this show is just a drop in the bucket. We have amazing people and amazing different careers.
Tell
us about yours.
Well, I didn't really know that I wanted to do this. From the time I was probably a sophomore in high school, I knew I wanted to be a flight attendant. My father insisted that if that's what I wanted to do, I needed to at least get 2 years of college behind me to fall back on just in case I wasn't ever accepted to an airline. So I went to junior college, and I did apply to Eastern about a month before I graduated, and I was accepted. And I went to New York for a year, and then I transferred to Boston. I met my husband when I went home for my 21st birthday. He asked me to dance at a bar, and he happened to be a college student. So anyhow, long story short, we did get married. I was still flying, and they were in the process of trying to pass the contract to allow you to fly after you got pregnant. Once you had the baby, you could go back. So I found out I was pregnant, and I waited until the contract passed. And then I told my supervisor that I was pregnant, and she said, well, you can't step back on an airplane right now. Give me your manual. So I did that. And in the meantime, my husband was accepted to graduate school in Kansas. So we had to move to Kansas, and I didn't, with a small baby, want to commute from Kansas City to Chicago. So I did quit, and without a doubt, that was the best job I ever had, and one of the best, some of the best years of my life. But anyhow, I didn't work for a few years, but I wanted a career. And when we were in Kansas, I took some courses in interior design and decided that that was the road I wanted to take. I kind of had a hidden talent that I wasn't really aware of. I was always decorating dorm rooms and apartments, but I didn't really know that that's what I wanted to do for a career. So I did take some courses, and I started in Atlanta, and then we moved to Clearwater, Florida. I worked for Habersham Plantation as a designer for 9 years, and then I decided to open my own business, and the rest is history.
Wow. Okay, I'm not really a curtain person, and I got a lot of bare windows in my new house.
Well, you know who to call.
I could certainly use your help. And I didn't know you were sitting right next to me. I didn't know I had that resource.
Well, I know, and we've only sat together at one meeting, and since then, you know, I spend summers in Maine, so I am somewhat semi-retired, but about 7 or 8 months out of the year, I'm working in Clearwater, and I still love it. I don't want to retire yet, so I'm available.
Okay, I'll look for you. Thanks, Barbara.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And stay on the line. Okay, now,
I was
told about our next guest that she was a motivational speaker. She doesn't refer to herself as such, but talking to her on the phone last week with her energy, she sure motivated me. She also has a very interesting past with Eastern that I hope she'll share with us. Beverly Raposa is with the Fort Lauderdale chapter. Hi, Beverly. Are you here?
Hi, Colleen. I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Well, actually, I have to say, and it's been so interesting listening to everyone, I actually wanted to be a flight attendant the first time that I saw a movie with my dad, which was called The High and the Mighty. And that was it.
Ooh.
I was sold. I wanted to be a stewardess. I actually applied to TWA because I wanted to fly international, but I went all the way to Kansas City. The woman in Boston had told me, because I'm from Rhode Island, I was working in Boston at the time, she said, well, you have all the requirements, but you're a half an inch too short, but I'm going to send you to Kansas City, but don't be surprised. Sure enough, they wouldn't let me go through any interview. About a year later, I was flying to San Juan and talking to, of course, the stewardesses, saying how much I wanted to be one. And one of the girls said, hey, we're hiring. You speak Spanish? I said, I do. She said, come on, we're building the routes. And the rest is history. I did apply. They overlooked the half inch. And I became an Eastern stewardess. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was my dream job. I love people. And as you said, yes, my story, I made an unscheduled landing in the Florida Everglades on December 29th of 72 aboard Eastern Flight 401. You know, that
amazing.
Was a night I obviously will always remember. And, you know, all I can say is, as far as being a steward, you know, we were taught, you know, we are there for the passengers in case of an emergency. I did my best. I remembered and tried to do the voice of authority. It just breaks my heart, though, to have lost two of my fellow flight attendants and, of course, all of our front end crew who are great guys. So, of course, that changed my life a little bit. I did go back and I did fly and flew for about 9 months, was wearing a back brace, had to step back and eventually left the airline. And at that point, I helped a friend out, actually in a pipe supply company, can you believe it? And through that, I used to take the banking in every day, and the girl at the bank said, hey, you know, I know you said you used to travel. This guy comes in every day, and he has a position at his travel agency, wanted to know if I was interested. But I don't, but how about you? Well, that was the beginning of 13 years of being a group travel agent at a huge travel agency in Fort Lauderdale. So I was back in the skies. I was taking groups of folks all over the world, air tours, cruises, you name it, motor coach tours, everything, and I loved it. But I then met my current boss, and my current boss was a client. They had just started the company. We did their travel, and they asked if I would go over to the office. I went over to help them. 2 days later, they said, would you come to work for us? And I said, well, I considered it, and I said yes. So I am right now the vice president of a company in West Palm Beach, Florida, Generations Gold. And we are a financial marketing company. And oddly enough, I travel all over the company, all over the country, actually, because we market a suite of benefits to banks and credit unions around the country. And it's mm-hmm. a series of benefits that people can use every day. You know, one of the things is travel and discounted gift cards and discounted pet health insurance. You name it, it's all real. So, although I was in Eastern Flight 01, Flight 401, went down and survived that, I still continue to fly all over. And I feel safer on the highways in the sky than I do down here on the highways in South Florida. In fact, when I'm flying, and I fly quite a bit, I say to folks, no, if you want to talk to me, wake me up, because I usually fall asleep before we take off. I may open my eyes and see us take off, and I usually wake up when we land. I love helping people. I've continued to do that in this job because I help people to save money. On the side, and you'll see this in the magazine, I'm putting an ad in, I have a health and vitality products business that I absolutely love. So that's mm-hmm. fantastic. And the silver liners, what can I say? Absolutely love them. I had joined years ago, then had to step back for a little bit with family things going on. But I think, as Connie said in the beginning, there's a camaraderie. There's, you know, I mean, we all didn't fly together, but it's so fantastic. And I really look forward to getting together, you know, every month and doing the different things. And we support the mental health folks down here. I mean, it's just so fantastic. I absolutely mm-hmm. love the silver liners, and I'd encourage anyone who's listening maybe that hasn't taken that step to get on board. So that's kind of my story a little bit through the airlines and from the high and the mighty. And oddly enough, the high and the mighty, if anybody has seen that, as you know, they just make it into San Francisco. We didn't quite make it that way, you know, that far that night, but there were a lot of heroines out there that night in 401 and all of my fellow flight attendants that survived it and did so much out there. And I'm so proud of each and every one of them that night, even though it's going to be 45 years this December. So thank you, Colleen, for helping me and asking me to be here with you tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. I mean, that alone is an amazing story. But, I never intended to be a flight attendant. And I saw a movie. I think it was Laura. I think the name of the movie, maybe Neil, somebody else can help. I think it was Laura. Might have even been Doris Day or somebody. She was the only flight attendant, and she had to land the plane in an emergency. Anybody remember that?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, but can't think of the name.
They
can't think of the name right now.
I know. I don't know how old I was, but I was sure that I could land in America. I could have done that. I could have landed that plane. but at the time, I had no idea in my head about being a flight attendant. I went along with a friend that I worked with that didn't want to go to a hotel interview by herself. And while I was there, they said, "Here, fill out this paper," and I got the job, and she didn't. So, but anyway.
Wow.
Beverly, thank you so much. But, you know, I would give you one hint. You need to work on your energy level. You need to get it up a little higher.
I'll try.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, and hang on the line, okay?
Thanks, Colleen. Thanks, Neil.
Okay. Let me see. Do I have more yet? Yes, I do. Oh, our next guest. She is here with Palm Beach, West Palm Beach chapter. Past international president and the current international treasurer, and with the current world situation, I'm sure that you have been very busy of late. Pat McLean, are you on here?
I am indeed, Colleen. It's good to hear from you.
You too. I've been trying to get in touch with you since we first spoke, but I'm sure that you've been busy.
I have to tell you, this is such a wonderful, wonderful program. I'm listening to all these tremendously accomplished women who had a solid foundation of having been flight attendants for Eastern Airlines. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Isn't it? I mean, what a great foundation. And most probably started out as, you know, very timid 20-year-olds. So, and it teaches you everything.
Exactly.
Confident.
It's a small world, too, because I listened to Beverly Shaw talk about how her mother was an Eastern flight attendant in New Orleans in the 40s. And so was my mother, Beverly Bennis. She flew out of New Orleans in 1946 and 47, and she met my father, who was an Eastern flight attendant as well, although I guess they called him a steward at that time. She was a stewardess, and he was steward, and they both flew out of Eastern Airlines, and that's where it started.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, I looked at your name, and I thought, I know that name, because I just recently rejoined Silver Liners, and I thought, I know that name. I know her. And, no, it wasn't you. It was your mother I knew 30 years ago.
It was indeed my mother. She is 93 years old, and she lives about 1 mile away from me here in West Palm Beach. And she's doing fine. We both came through Irma just fine. I was without power for 5 days, so that made me crazy. She was without CNN, and she's a news junkie, so that made her crazy. But Mom was an East Silver Liner back in the day when they just got started. As a matter of fact, three friends got together and talked about it and talked about it and talked about it, and finally they formed four separate chapters of Silver Liners, but they hadn't really organized. And one day Captain Eddie just said, "All of you fly in to see me." And it was my mom, Jean Smith from Atlanta, Eileen Chittick from Newark, and there was one other member. And he said, "Listen, you ladies need to get organized. I'm going to sponsor you. It's going to be X amount of dollars per international officer, and I want you to go out and start these chapters. We're going to use you as ambassadors through the years, and we really want you to do this. And that's how things got started. So I like to say that I became a silver liner when I was 2 years old.
Yeah, you were born a silver liner.
I absolutely was born a silver liner. And in those early years, Mom was with the New York chapter, which was Long Island, New York. And they were very active. They did a bunch of fundraisers for special needs children. I guess in the 80s, the early 80s, Dee Dee Skoog started the Flight to the North Pole, which became very popular. And back in those days, of course, they took children actually up in the aircraft. So as a teenager, I became part of that. Mom had me and my sisters out doing silver liner volunteer work and putting together these parties and arts and crafts for handicapped children and all. And it was just so much fun. And then since my whole family was in aviation, of course, I grew up and became a flight attendant. But I went with an international carrier. I did not go with Eastern, much to my regret listening to the stories tonight. And I flew for about 10 years. And when the Silver Liners opened their doors to flight attendants from other airlines in 1996, I became a Silver Liner as well.
That's great. That's great.
It's been a lot of fun.
First, they were only former flight attendants, and
mm-hmm.
then people started flying longer and longer. So then they opened it up to former and current flight attendants. And, you know, with the demise of Eastern, I mean, we've opened it up to other airlines, and we're all the same family. It, you know, you just have this camaraderie between you, no matter what airline you flew with. Of course, Eastern was a little bit special, and we all know that, but...
We all do know that, and we all do recognize that. And actually, the Silver Liners is pretty much about 95% Eastern flight attendants, so... there's only a few of us who are non-Eastern. My company was Transamerica. It was international. We did a lot of refugee flights. As a result, I went to a lot of very bizarre places. I was based occasionally in Kano, Nigeria. We went to was Iran back then, a lot of the Middle East, Hong Kong. We had a Coral Sea base that did the Coral Sea Islands, Johnson, Guam, Inuita, Kwajalein. So, you know, these were long trips for us. They were like 3 weeks long. So I flew from 73 to 82, and when I had my first daughter, I had to quit. I couldn't be gone 3 weeks at a time with an infant. So that was the end of that. Unfortunately, my marriage didn't last that long. I had a second daughter, and I left my husband in the early 90s and moved to Florida, which is where I started my second career. I had stayed in aviation even after I stopped flying in operations roles and ground operations, and I was a station manager for a while. I did transportation. I did cargo, all sorts of things. But when I came to Florida in 1992, there were a zillion Eastern Airline pilots out of work. It was hard for me to get into the field down here because they could hire a pilot to do my job, so why would they want me? So actually, it was that time that I applied for and got accepted in a law enforcement position as a 911 operator. The agency felt that some of my skills in aviation were easily transferable to law enforcement. Especially as a 911 operator. I could operate the radio. I knew the 24-hour clock. I was used to, you know, independent work and things like that. So that started a career that's lasted now another 24 years. So I've been in law enforcement for 24 years here in Florida, and I just love it. I can't even see myself retired.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating career.
Yeah. Right now I'm with very... very large sheriff's office, and I work in our Homeland Security Unit, which I absolutely love. For a while there, I was doing mostly large investigations. I'm not a sworn officer. I'm an intelligence analyst in our Homeland Security unit, and I was doing mostly investigations involving multi-agencies. I received an award for one case that I worked on of human trafficking, and that was very rewarding. And I'll work with sometimes the Secret Service on, counterfeit currency cases or, you know, large organized crimes and racketeering cases, things like that. But 2 years ago, I transitioned to one of our smaller, well, a large district, actually, in our detective bureau, and I work mostly property crimes. So it's sort of my one step into retirement. So I really just love it, and I was able to put myself through college, and I have a master's in Homeland Security. So if I ever need a retirement job, I'll probably just teach at a local college. So, but that was a story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it's a great transition from one to the other, and you know, training in one always leads to your next step. It's great. You know, the way people reinvent themselves. So,
oh yeah,
okay.
That is true. And flying really was the foundation of my current job, I have to say. But what a small world in this conversation that we're having, this show tonight. You know, Beverly Shaw, her mother flew, as my mother did. And then I listened to Sherry Reunion talk about how she works at Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies in Orlando. 1 year ago, almost to the day, I was at that hospital with my daughter who had gone into some kind of kidney crisis, and she was 8.5 months pregnant, and we ended up going to that hospital. We went to a smaller hospital, and they said, no, she has to go to Winnie Palmer. So we went there, and I'm wondering, you know, if Sherry might have even been on duty. As it turns out, I'm very happy to report that my 11-month-old grandson is doing very well, and my daughter's just fine. So, yay, Winnie Palmer Hospital. They did a good job.
Yeah, that's, what a small world, right?
It really is. As Disney always said, it's a small world after all. that is true.
Yes, it is. Okay. Let me see here. All right, stay on the line again because we might have a lot of questions for a lot of people. I want to know how everybody got into the their current careers because I still have a few years left and I want to get into all of them. okay, we have one more guest. Now, any flight attendant listening remembers that your first impression of that dreaded supervisor. Our next guest intimidated me so much as a 20-year-old new hire. I mostly flew the
Hello?
Yeah, I know. I flew shuttle standby as out of LaGuardia. And this guest caught me so many times going from the lounge to the snack bar, quote, out of uniform, without either my hat or my white gloves on. And after she tells her story, I'll continue with mine. And that was my first supervisor, Janice Hoover. Janice?
Well, hello, Colleen.
Hi, Janice.
I'm
sorry
so inspired by these gorgeous women and what they have done and their beautiful careers. I can't even begin to compete with that. That is just so fabulous. I want to see every one of them.
Then we all have to meet at the next convention or board meeting.
We are. I just can't wait for that. I've been in silver liners for years and years, even while I was flying at Eastern. So I'm in the Villages chapter, and the women there are just absolutely wonderful, and I love it. And we did the convention last year, and it was so much fun. I was the bartender for 3 days. It was a lot of hard work, but it was fun. And what would you like to know? Keeping some parts out of this.
No, I was going to say we're all trained in being bartenders. We all do great at that.
So, yes, I started at Eastern in 59, and I continued on until 91. And when when it folded, and I was living, my husband was an Eastern pilot who is now deceased, and we were living in Louisiana near my parents, who were elderly, in 91, and I loved my career at Eastern. I loved everything about Eastern. It gave me the foundation that everybody else has had to go out and see the world on the company nickel, I call it. My little friend John Bates always called it the company nickel. But as a young girl out of college, I went to Denver to teach school, and because they paid more than Louisiana. So my roommate wanted to be a flight attendant. Well, she was 6 feet tall, and we went to Continental, and I got hired, and she was too tall. So I came home for the summer, consequently got hired by Eastern and Delta, and later on by Pan Am, but I chose Eastern, and I loved every minute of being there. And after Eastern, I think it was 3 months later, in those days, you didn't get hired, you didn't do resumes on the computer. They had open houses, and United had an open house in New Orleans at the Hilton in June of 91, and I went there and got hired, and I flew almost 18 years at United Airlines, and a lot of it, almost all of it on reserve. I don't know how I stood it, but I was based in New York, and then Miami, and that closed, and then Boston, which I loved, and I retired out of Boston when I was 71 years old, and now over 80. So I had a wonderful career there and got the benefits and the retirement, but I loved my flying career. I would do it all over again, the same career, and it taught us so much. It taught us how to be confident, get along with people, and see the world and help and do for people, which I still try to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Janice, that's why I kept you for our last guest, because you made a career of flying.
Maybe by accident, I don't know, but I was grateful to have it. I really was.
Truly, you had 38 years with Eastern, and then you had 18 more years with United. I know we have other flight attendants. We have other members and that went on with two airlines and also had, you know, full long careers. But, well,
United hired a lot of, quite a few of Eastern. Delta and American didn't want me. I didn't meet their standards. But anyway, I just got back from Shanghai last week. I went to do my Christmas shopping. And there was a flight attendant on there who was 78. And had been flying 54 years, and another flight attendant on the 747 who had over 50 years and a half. She just celebrated her 50th anniversary, and they were still going strong. And wow. It was just a wonderful thing. And I would love to know who Beverly from New Orleans, see, in 59, I was based in New Orleans for a couple of years till it closed, and I may have even known her mother. And that was just a wonderful base, and I lived at home, of course, and, you know, right. I would get airsick on all the airplanes, and my father said to me, I'd come home green as just whatever, throwing up all the time on electors. They made me airsick. My dad said, I don't think this is a job for you. You should do something else, and I think that's why I went into management for a little while. So I didn't get airsick, and then I went back to flying. So.
Okay. Well, you were a personal connection for me, and we are getting close.
I know. I know. My Colleen, I just loved her. And I always enjoy seeing the people that, you know, I do have a few other friends that, you know, we were in the same situation. They were in the group or something like that. I think I could have done a better job. I did what I could do or what they told me to do. It was a wonderful career, just absolutely wonderful. I'm so inspired by the women who have these marvelous jobs still, and, to be a copyist in the National Gallery and an interior designer and in the hospitals and tour ambassadors and just wonderful things know that our career helped them to helped us all to do that. It's really wonderful.
We all
it really
on,
helped
we all
us
on.
With people and helped us get along. And I think it made us all very special. And once you're a flight attendant, you're always a flight attendant. You're always looking after people, no matter where you are.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much. And my little comment about you was that I met you in the 60s. We ran into each other. We ran into each other at United in the 90s. Only then I was senior to you.
I know. I loved it. Everybody was senior to me. I don't know how I stood it. I flew all the holidays sitting in, you know, terminals on Christmas Day, and I thought, oh, Janice, you must be nuts. What are you doing here? You know, but I swallowed my pride and just did it. And I probably would have flown another year. My husband got very ill, and he died just a couple of weeks before I retired. I would have retired about then anyway. I thought it was time. But, you know, my Eastern is my treasure, and the friends I made there was nothing like Eastern Airlines. So I'll always have that in my heart.
Yeah, we all will. All right, then I met
you will.
After meeting, running into you, you know, in the 90s at United.
I know.
Then I ran into you. Then I ran into you last year. It was 30 years again. So we have a habit of meeting every 30 years.
I think it's just wonderful. I want to meet all the girls that were on, all the women that were on this radio show. Somehow we have to have a reunion or something like that.
Well,
I live in Mount Dora, outside of Orlando. So I've lived here 26 years. But I had another little small career. I always wanted to be an athlete. After I retired, I said I was going to be a reborn athlete. So, you know, and nobody really knew that when I was a young girl, I wanted to be an ice skater. And, of course, in New Orleans, there's no ice. I mean, you don't skate. So, anyway, after I retired, I went to the ice rink here at RDV in Orlando one Sunday night and rented skates, and I skated. And I kind of liked it, so I went back. Long story short, I'm still ice skating, and I always wanted to be in an ice show. So I was in two ice shows at this old age. Of course, one time I did break my ankle and split my face, but I took a year's worth of, or maybe 2 years' worth of group lessons, and it was funny because the group lessons were on Saturday. They said, well, why don't you take the adult class? So I'll do that. So I go. I had bought skates by then, not good ones, but skates. So I go to the class, and all the adults were about 15 years old. But anyway, I stuck with it. Now I have a private coach, and we skate together every week. And it's absolutely wonderful. And I play tennis, and I do gym work, and I run, and I keep occupied with the house, the yard, the cat, whatever, and traveling and things like that. So,
how old are you again?
It's a full life. It's nice if I just don't break anything else skating. So I'll probably skate maybe a few more months or another year, and then it might be too dangerous for me to keep on going. I don't do the shows anymore because I don't worry. I don't want them to worry about an old lady on the ice. So, no more shows. Just skate for my pleasure. But I did go to World Figure Skating, three World Figure Skating competitions. One was in Shanghai, another in near Toronto, Canada, and third one in Boston. And I went for a week at a time, Shanghai, Canada, and Boston. Absolutely wonderful. It was the joy of my life. So I follow that sport just for fun. And I just started taking piano lessons again. So back into that. And I work with the Orlando Symphony. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I hope we all meet sometime.
Yeah, I do too. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Janice. Okay. That concludes all my guests. Now, we're a fantastic group of people sharing a common background. We do phenomenal work for a huge variety of charities. We are talented, creative, caring, and a fun group. And, Neil, you want to open it up? You have questions? Anybody else has questions? That's it.
What a fantastic show that you presented tonight, Colleen, and all of your guests. It was just outstanding. And I want to open all the microphones because I have so many questions that we don't have enough time to do them all. That's okay, because we're going to invite you back as often as you want to come back. So please, please work with Dorothy. Dorothy, you're with us right now. Did I open your line, Dorothy?
I certainly did. Thank you. I'm here.
We want to welcome the Silver Liners to the radio show because this was the most entertaining hour that we've had on the radio show. We've been on the radio show for over probably nearly 400 hours, and this was a highlight, one of the highlights of our presentations that we've tried to keep the Eastern family informed. And Colleen and Connie, thank you so much for giving us the guest tonight that I'm out of words. I want to say thank you so much. And Dorothy, I'm going to open all of the phones. First of all, Dorothy, you have anything to say before I open all the microphones? And then we have chaos, because that's probably what it will be. But because our board is completely full of not only our guests tonight, but our listeners as well. And as most of you know, we can only accept 25 calls on my producer's board here. So that's all we can allow as far as microphones. But we're going to open them all up, and we'll see how it sounds. Thanks so much, Colleen. You did a wonderful job of hosting this. Dorothy.
Neil,
thank you.
Can you hear
very
me?
Well.
Thank you, Colleen.
Neil,
you.
I don't
Connie?
Think you have my microphone open.
No, I can hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's open. It's open, Dorothy.
I just want to mention that Sonia Gadra, her website is https://SoniaGadra.com. Otherwise, they won't find it.
Not
beautiful
not
website, and everyone should see it. It's great.
It's SoniaGadra.com.
Right, but you
okay.
have to put the https://.
No.
Well, that's the only way it came up.
Yeah, there might be another way. Go
SoniaGadra.com. There's no at, just SoniaGadra.com.
Oh, okay. We'll leave it at that.
Right.
Okay.
Can I jump here in then?
Sure.
All right. This is Dorothy Newhan, and I have one quick thought, and that is an old adage that we've all heard before. The cream rises to the top.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen is right.
Dorothy, I'm sorry, it's Colleen. I forgot that you were on. You're not on my list. It was a last-minute thing, and I haven't talked to you in 30 minutes. I know.
What?
Colleen, it was wonderful hearing you. You've done a fantastic job, as always.
30.
I remember meeting Colleen at my very first convention, and that was in 1973 or 70, I believe 73 or 70, 74 in Mexico.
In Mexico?
New Orleans,
we were
Mexico.
In San Juan.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a couple
Juan,
years
Dorothy.
Later.
Dorothy, San
okay.
Juan.
Okay, all right. All right, Connie.
All I know
anyway,
is
anyway, great hearing all of you. You're fantastic, absolutely incredible women. I'm very proud to be a part of you.
We've got 25 microphones open right now. 25 microphones open. So whoever screams the loudest for some airtime, you just go ahead.
Well, this
is Jim open?
Orlando,
Jerry,
so,
go ahead, Jerry.
I want to say one is to Patty.
I'm so glad to hear your daughter's outcome. We really do miracles at Winnie Palmer Hospital, and I'm glad that you're a recipient. So I'm going to look you up because I want to know more about your story. The other thing I want to tell you is that but I have to tell you, it was one of the hardest, most difficult times of my life. I was young. We had ambitious dreams and goals, and I was completely heartbroken at when Borman sold us and all the things that transpired. Yeah. And I'm so pleased to have been a part of this because it has really helped me focus on all the blessings and all the good things. So, ladies, I just want to commend you all because I didn't fly at the same time. I flew from 1979 to, and I the last 2 years before we went on strike, I was on a leave that they offered people on the A pay scale, which, by the way, had been whittled away to nothing. But I am there's just a blessing. I'm glad I focused on that. And I really, truly hope I get to meet you all because, honestly, I hate to think that any chapter of my life was wasted. And so thank you all.
Oh, you're welcome.
What a great.
And thank you for being
here. Did I just say something? Do you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Okay. I would like to just invite everybody who loved flying. Just loved being a flight attendant for Eastern, even if it was for 6 months or 20 years. There's something about us that's different from the other airline. There's
absolutely
just something
yes.
different. So what Silver Liner does is give us that notoriety, if you will, or that speciality or that, whatever it was that they found about us that was different. And that's what we do with Silver Liners. We encapsulate that notion. And I would invite all of you to just test us. Just figure it out. Come to a meeting, come to a convention, come to whatever, and figure it out because there is a sorority fraternity that does exist.
May I ask a question about when is the convention, your next convention, or have you set it up already?
Oh, yes.
We have it next May. Oh, my God, you're asking
15,
me. 15 to 17, I think.
Yeah.
In Jupiter, Florida, and the Wyndham.
That is correct.
Yep.
It's the 15th through the 17th. This is Patty McLean of the Palm Beach chapter, and we're so excited to be able to host this for the 2018 chapter.
And within the next 2 days, all the information will be on the website as well.
Can we also ask that you send that to us at host at EAL Radio Show, and we'll publish it on our website as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The banquet, the installation banquet, which will be held on the night of the 17th, we will have tickets available to local people and EARA and people who don't want to attend the full 3-day event. So that's always a good time to, you know, network with other Eastern employees and just generally have a good time. And I'm sure there'll be some alcohol involved, so you should show up.
There better be.
Well, the fact that they have quoted it as Margaritaville, I guess that probably sends it all.
I can hardly wait.
I'm not going to elaborate on that. We're not talking, but yes, the title of the theme of the event is Margaritaville.
well, you know,
Colleen, are
yes.
you still there?
Yes,
do you
I'm
mind
still
if
here.
I? Do you mind if I just type the next one?
I'm sorry.
Go.
What was that?
The next Silver Liner radio show.
Oh, yeah. Is this Connie? I can't tell.
It is. It is. I'm sorry. I know you can't recognize my voice because it keeps cracking up.
I thought it,
but Neil doesn't even know this. So we're going to do another Silver Liner show the first quarter of next year. And Chris Erickson, a former international officer, is going to be coordinating it. We're going to be talking about all the former flight attendants, civil lighters who have gone into other careers within the travel industry.
Yeah.
Hi, okay. This is Chris Erickson, DeVoe, right here.
Okay, there she is. She can talk about it.
Yes, and I look forward to that. I would love to hear from any and all of you to share what you have done in the travel industry after your flying career with Eastern. And after tonight, it's going to be a tough act to follow, gals, because there are some outstanding careers that came along for some of our gals. But many of us, myself included, I flew corporate charters and with an international travel club for 30 years after my flying career with Eastern, and I would have never had that opportunity. And I would love to hear what you've all done, and we'll put together a great show. I mean, this has got to be something that, you know, the flight attendants today, the opportunities are out there, and maybe they don't know about it. After they're done with commercial flying, there are all kinds of wonderful things that they can do. So I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.
That sounds great.
You will.
Good, good. And it was a great show, Colleen and Connie. It was super. It's really fun. One thing I would just say, does everybody have a mic in front of them? Because of the everything kind of would go in and out at times, and I'm watching it on my eyes.
Well, you're listening to the producer right now, and yes, everyone has
good.
A smartphone.
You're good. You're good. The rest of them would go in and out, so maybe mics are amp.
Well, we call this
everybody
kitchen table radio, and that's about what it is. But I tell you what, you guys have been like you've always been, as I remember, flight attendants with Eastern Airlines, just very professional. Professional, outspoken too as well. But
mouthy, is that the word you're looking for?
There you go. There's another word I can use. All right. I had the pleasure of doing a radio show with the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. As you know, one of our sponsors, and I'm a member of REPA, and we'd like
Did
to.
Did you go to the convention?
Yes, we had a radio show there in Birmingham, Alabama, right before Irma arrived in Florida.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah,
oh,
and it was great. And I'd like to offer also the radio show down at any of your conventions or anywhere you want us. By golly, we've got enough hosts that we can do a radio show there. So this is
that'd
fun.
Be fun.
This is fun. This is really fun. This is Eastern talk.
I think that's
hey, can you give
us
that would
us
be
a,
really fun, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That
would be great. Surreal. But what a great
can
ambassador
us,
for the radio show to reach out people. This is my first experience. This is Sherry in Orlando. And honestly, that's a generous offer, and I think that's a great connector of people. So I endorse that 100%.
Hey, thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you. And,
you do a great job. You do a great job. Now, could you give us a really quick update on what's happening with Eastern?
Oh, yeah, I was afraid someone would ask that. But
we want to know.
You knew that was coming, didn't you, Neil?
I knew that was coming, Chuck, but I'll have to go back to Dorothy. What we don't like to share things that we don't know on the radio, because sometimes people rely on what we say as being fact, and we don't really have the facts. But we do know certain things that, I think most people by now know that the Eastern Airlines group that was running charters and had their DOT and FAA certificate for 121 operation sold the interest over to Swift Air, and they are using Eastern airplanes. And Dorothy, can you update us on anything that you know? Because we keep, Dorothy Gagnon keeps the website EALradioshow.com updated with all the latest information. Dorothy, it's your microphone.
Well, we really haven't got any news that we could share. We don't want to say things that we don't know. There's a lot of speculation, especially on Facebook, and we don't really know what's going on. We do know that they're still in business, according to some of the folks are saying that are on Facebook that actually have been in touch with the corporate office. I plan to at some point try to call the corporate office, see if I can get any news that we could relay or get someone to come with us to talk on the radio show. But Don had a little setback, and so my priorities have been there, and I haven't been able to follow through on that. But as soon as we know, I'll be more than happy to let everyone know. We'll have breaking news for sure. Until then, all we know is they're still down there. They still have planes there. They have two planes there. They have their other one is out to given to Swift Air, and they've also given their client FAU to Swift Air and several other clients that they've had. We're not sure of anything else. I haven't seen them in Havana. Their website is not up. There is nothing to tell us where they've been. You try to Google at all anywhere. You really don't get any updated news. So, as I said, we'll try to get something for everyone to know as soon as we're able to do that. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good. I'd like to make a couple of comments about the show tonight. First of all, Beverly, high and the mighty, also launched my career as an airline pilot back in 1954.
Wow.
It was also a movie that I saw that really impressed me that I wanted to be an airline pilot. And, of course, I was for the finest airline on in the skies ever. And so...
Wow.
John Wayne, thanks a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, we have a show that you gals were talking about being on reserve for so many years. Of course, when you become a brand-new co-pilot with Eastern, you're at the very bottom. You're on reserve. And then when you go to a new airplane, you're usually on the bottom of the seniority list, and you're on reserve. And then when you check out as captain, you're at the bottom of the list again of captains, and you're on reserve. And it seems like it's ever, forever on reserve. So we've decided to do a radio show about, I think, two shows from now, and it will be called The Seniority List. So we'd love to have you gals that would like to talk about what the seniority list meant to you.
That answering your phone.
Yeah, there you go. Don't
we didn't have
phone.
Pagers or beepers, yeah. Or cell phones. You just
cell pagers. Yeah, that
but
goes back a long way.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good time on that show, the seniority list. Yeah.
Neil, it's Beverly Shaw from St. Pete, who was on reserve my entire career.
Yeah, Beverly.
You know. I held trips that I never could have held on reserve, and I got so good. I had my, you know, I kept my uniform in my car, and I also worked another job. I worked for a high-end catering company that out of Miami, and in 6 years, only two times did I have to leave my job and run out and fly. But... even though, you know, I was on a beeper for 6 years, I had some of the most incredible South American trips with the El Interamericano service and all kinds of things. So looking back, reserve for six my entire career was not a bad deal.
Beverly, I just want to add to that. This is Terry in Orlando. I just want to add to that. I didn't have such a happy occasion about that because my boyfriend, now my husband, who's the love of my life, was back in Orlando. So I was eager to get off of reserve. But I will tell you, I remember putting my beeper in a baggie and going out sailing on Biscayne Bay, hoping they could call me. And I didn't let it stop me. I just couldn't get to Britt, who I was much rather spend time with. But you know what? I made good use of my time, and that was one of the best. I was like, okay, you want to go sailing in Biscayne Bay? Well, I'm on reserve. I'm on call. I could get ready reserve. And they're like, well, we can have you into the beach in 20 minutes, you know. So
Absolutely no worries. I got so good at knowing how many hours I had in the month. I would have dinner parties, fancy dinner parties on reserve, knowing that, the odds were there's no way I'm going to get called. And I never had a problem with that.
Well, at some point, just have to take a chance. You know, I couldn't make it to Orlando, but a sailboat in Biscayne Bay wasn't a bad second.
Well, now, I expect you gals now to be on our
hours in logbooks.
Sherry, one more thing, and I'll step off. I kept in my car. I didn't know if I was going to snow or to the islands, so I kind of had to have two totally different suitcases.
Who was that? Who's speaking? Who was that that said that?
Beverly Shaw out of St. Pete. Yeah.
Beverly.
Okay.
You guys,
okay,
you got to come back for the seniority list. You got to come back for our show on the seniority list. It's going to be fun. It really will be fun, especially.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, Neil and Dorothy, thank you so much. I'm humbled and honored by my fellow fantastic women. They're amazing ladies. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you all
thank
too,
you.
Very much.
You.
I'm honored also.
Is that
I
Colleen
have
or
one quick
Connie?
Question.
Yeah.
Hey, if we've heard so many wonderful gals tonight, and I'm not sure that I've met all of them. The gal that's the copyist at the museum, does she sell her works?
I do, and some of it is on my website.
Oh, wonderful.
Or if anybody wants or would like a special piece from Masters, I can always do that for you. So all you have to do is get in touch with me and let me know, and I can create just about any piece in that museum hanging on the walls.
Oh, how wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank
it would
you
be
so
a treasure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Can I just say I have two of Sonia's pieces in my Tampa house, and they are absolutely exquisite.
Ooh,
thank you, Connie. Thank
so
you.
Incredibly talented.
I will get a hold of your get everything from you, Connie, so I can do it. Okay,
and just an aside, I don't know if everybody, a lot of people don't know, but my beach house in Ocean City, Maryland, I have hosted over the years the Washington chapter of Silver Liners for a beach weekend. And a couple of years ago, Sonia came and she did an ornament as a gift, a thank you to me, of the house. It is incredible. It's incredible. She is so talented. I would love for you guys to see her work. So I just, please look at her website. She is incredible.
Thank you, Connie. I appreciate that. We have so much fun at your beach house. I'm sorry you're going to sell it. But I think we all got caught cold last week when we were there.
I want to have to cut it off now, gals. We have run out of time. And Dorothy, I want to turn it over to you. How about telling us about, do we have any new members that signed on to the website this past week?
Oh, thank you. Yes, we do, Neil. Just a second now. We have, excuse me, a new sponsor, Manny Camacho, who is one of our members but has donated to us very generously on the show. So thank you, sponsors. We have several new members. Lance Perrin, who joined Indus. He worked at Chicago, Miami, San Francisco, Eastern 1978 to 1991. He was in various marketing, including account executive, Chicago sales manager. He was manager of Eastern Express and director of Interline Industry Affairs. Also had one of our daughters of Linda and Esten Fuller, Elizabeth Venuto, has joined us out of being one of our Eastern brats. And then Neil received a great email from Steve Kindrick, and he was an Eastern Airlines reservation agent till 1991 and then continued with Continental Airlines until both he and his wife downsized. He has sent a friend request, and he's going to be very depressed if the new Eastern disappears. He's already depressed to see Ringling Brothers and Bonham and Bailey become a footnote in history. I'm to say, unfortunately, when Mr. Beagle was forced out of the EAL, I'm afraid that the writing was on the wall. Bad, because I really think there's a spot for legacy carrier to return. The old seating, pitch, free baggage, and meals on flights at a higher rate, but all up front with no hidden services. Real employees answering the phones with dedication we had at the OEAL. Then we also had Jerry Noyes, who joined us as a member. He's 85 years old, and he lived at one time in Jacksonville, Florida, not too far from Neil. He was an Eastern pilot working out of LaGuardia, Atlanta, Miami, and started with Eastern Airlines in 1956, working until 1989. He was seen at the Reaper luncheons when he was in the Jacksonville area. His passes, and he is now living in Elizabethton, Tennessee, and devotes quite a bit of time to them. We had another new member who just joined, Andrew Gerhardt, and he's 28 years old, Greenville, South Carolina, and he writes, "I am the grandson of Captain Stephen Thompson, one of the heroes of Eastern Flight 855. I had the absolute blessing of my life getting to live with my grandfather growing up as well as my sisters and mother and I. We all lived together for over 16 years, and I would not change it for anything in the world. I view my grandfather as my actual father because of the times we shared growing up and the lessons he taught me and for the love he showed me. He was my biggest encourager and ultimately my biggest fan. I majored in history at Clemson University and now am the host of the Monday American podcast that covers topics and stories from American history. Biggest supporter was, of course, my grandpa, Pop-Pop Captain Steve, and because he so loved the EAL radio show, so do I. And last, we had Linda Cortoria, who lives in Georgia and was with Eastern 1978 to 1993, working out of LaGuardia in Atlanta. I just want to mention also that we have quite a few new things on the website for each one of you to take a look at. The first thing, of course, we have the review of the Hall of Fame that is on the front page, the home page for Steve, and it gives the highlights of the whole event for those who could not get to listen. We also have it at our EAL radio show blog top, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/CaptainEddie, C-A-P-T, Eddie. So please take a look at it. Listen to it. It is a wonderful evening. If you didn't get to hear it, you will enjoy it immensely. We also have some new photos that have been sent in by people, and that is on our EALradioshow.com under photos. And certainly if you want to add them, go ahead and do so now, because we've had that repaired on the website, and you're able to post any photos you want very easily. That's it for the evening, so please join us, look at the website, take a look at all the individual categories we have. There are so many. There's a lot of breaking news we have up there for this week. So I would encourage everyone to do so. Thank you. Back to you, Neil.
Dorothy keeps the calendar updated, too. So if you've got a meeting or a luncheon or a convention or whatever, we can put it on our calendar. Update everyone that wants to see what's happening with Eastern Airlines. And we're still around, by golly, and we're going to be around as long as we've got a voice on this radio show, and we're happy to do so. It's been really fun doing tonight's show, and Colleen and Connie and all of our guests, again, thank you so very much. It was a great show. We've run out of time a long time ago, but we're still going strong, and we're going to put the airplane on the ground and sign off for this evening, hoping that we'll hear programs just like this from the Silver Liners in the very near future. Thanks so much, Silver Liners. You did a great job.
Good job, Neil.
Thank you, Colleen, so much. Thank you, Silver Liners. We enjoyed it immensely, and you must come back and talk a little bit more.
Thank you to all of you.
Great landing, Captain Steve. Colleen, thank you, your guests and the Silver Liners, for letting us host your show tonight. Another wonderful show by Eastern people. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines and the place we work and the stories we share, like the one we did tonight. We feel we've truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, listeners, guest, host, and sponsor, REPA, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. We look forward to our Eastern family and friends joining us again October 9th, when our featured guests tell the Eastern family about a new and exciting exhibit recently opened at Georgia State University in Atlanta, Georgia. And until then, we all say, good night, Eastern. We love you, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern. We love you, Eastern.
Good night, sweet time, and pleasant dreams.